No.
Hi, Ingolf.
Hey everyone, let me get started here. We'll give it a few more minutes.
Hey guys.
Hello. All right, let's begin. Fortunately, I didn't pull up the meeting notes. The only item on there that I think we would talk about after reviewing the doc is additional module criteria. Otherwise, the focus is on this dog here. We had gone through up to say around here. There were some additional comments since the last meeting, so I wanted to go through them, at least talk about it. So Kevin said, why not a system username? And Julian said system username is more frequently used than system underscore user underscore username. The idea for this is that this is the prefix. So system user, think of this like a domain and then whatever else we want to have here. So if we have this as name, maybe that's not referring to username, and that's why this is set to username. I believe we had agreed to this in the last meeting, but we can bring it up for discussion once more. Any thoughts? Yes, Kevin.
I missed the last meeting, so if you agree to it, that's fine. I can retract my. Well, I was just pretty much asking the reason for, and you've answered it, so thank you.
Yeah, I would prefer what you suggested here, and it's correct to that what Julian said here. If we go, with this prefix style to say here is, Kafka, and then everything, within it, it seems weird that it would be just name. But any pushback to that? All right. Last meeting, we said that all environment variables must be uppercase with underscores, no dots or periods. Of course, that's on spe framework specific ones that we don't control, so those will always be there. But when de declaring stuff like this, it shouldn't be lowercase. That's what we described. And also, I forgot to ask, Ingolf, would you be able to scribe?
Oh, yes.
Sorry that caught you by surprise. Let me just open the meeting notes. Yeah, so it's Ingolf today, followed by Julian next. Ingolf, do you need some time?
Yes, I will start. Okay. Right.
We talked about framework specific variables. We talked about this extensively as well. I moved. There was a line item here that we wanted to add something to the module descriptor. Julian had mentioned that the environment variables as they exist today is for minimal deployments. And then we mentioned that we needed another property that we hold all of the environment variables, and then some tooling can generate mvars and things like that. Yes, Wayne.
Right, so I volunteered to look into that, so which I did, and it turns out that I had forgotten years ago we actually created that property. It already exists.
Oh, okay.
It's called env, and it's on the top level. So it uses the same schema as the env property of the launch descriptor, but it's on the top level of the module descriptor.
I see.
So it's actually already there, and I don't believe any modules use it. It was imagined being for documentation. So let's see, what would be the best way to do this? Give me a second. So, may I share my screen?
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay. Back to Zoom. Here we go. Thanks for your patience. Okay. So basically this is just a summary, right? So the module descriptor schema has two places for environment variables. One is here on the top level. So this is, truncated schema. Env goes here. It's got key value and description, or rather name value and description. And only name is required. And then it is also down here in the launch as part of the launch descriptor. And so I think my suggestion would be to use this top level env property to generate documentation. Then we don't have to worry about, any effect that downstream effect of it. It's not being used, it's just there, and we could use this to generate the documentation. I suggest that we maybe add two properties to the schema, default and required. That wouldn't be breaking, as long as the properties aren't required in the schema, right? So as long as they're not listed here under required, it wouldn't be a breaking change to the schema. And then that feels like that would be useful for generating documentation, right? Like you can imagine a checkbox that says this is required, or a column that says this is what the module has set as the default. Although I guess you could use the value as the default, so maybe that's not necessary. You could say, if there's a value, but that would be all convention, right? It's not actionable at this time by any CI process that I know of. So we could say, well, if there's a default value, it goes in the value key. Otherwise, there's no value key.
Yeah, thank
Does
you
the or
for
something like
looking
that.
into this. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. Where does this schema live? Is this in Okapi or somewhere else?
It does actually live in Okapi. I don't know, how it's defined for Eureka purposes. Craig, you're on the call. Maybe you can talk about that. But it's actually in the code of Okapi. There's not. I don't think Okapi has a RAML. Okapi isn't built from RAML the way that RAML module builders modules are. It is gathered into the documentation here so that the API is documented. And this is generated from RAML.
So yeah, I've always looked into the code, the Okapi code, to see the schema,
Yeah.
and it's difficult to read because it's all like all the quotes are escaped and all that stuff, right? If
Right.
there's a better place to look at it, then by all means, please share that. As far as Eureka goes, we don't make any adjustments to the module descriptor schema. We basically just treat it as an object, as part of the application descriptor. So there, whatever you see in Okapi is exactly what we should have in Eureka as well.
So how would you pick up a change to the Okapi schema.
Like I said, right now it's I believe it's just treated as an object. So Eureka
So
wouldn't
you're not doing schema enforcement, for example. So if there's
I
like a
don't
non-breaking
not at the
change,
module
you
descriptor
wouldn't
level.
care. Yeah.
We do it at the application level, but not at the module level.
That makes sense.
I believe that's the case, and don't quote me on that. I need to check. Yeah, and maybe we need to formalize that at some point. Maybe as we make adjustments to the module descriptor schema, maybe that's a good opportunity to do that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense for this to live somewhere else, and for it to be open API instead of RAML, so spinning it out probably makes some sense. That feels like, I mean, that's probably outside the scope of this conversation. But we could, I don't know, Julian, what do you think? I mean, we could make an issue in Okapi to spin out to depend on a open API definition or something like that.
Yes, sure. Currently, the Okapi definition is generated in the regular API documentation, so you can view it there in a better form, but it probably can be changed, easily changed to Open API or any other. So
So
anyway,
go ahead, Wayne.
that Yeah, I was just going to say, that feels like in the weeds a little and outside the scope of the environment variable conversation. But anyway, those are my recommendations, that we just keep using the launch descriptor as we currently do, to sort of set what in the description says default environment for deployment. So that there's, so that there's a sensible set of environment variables that someone could just look at and say, oh, okay, or use. I mean, I know in our CI, we actually use that. And then there would also be this env section that would have the would have the full
The
documentation.
full list.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for digging into this.
Yep.
If I'm understanding this correctly, to add the two properties there, it would be a Okapi code change. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, right, Julian, right, because the
Yes,
API
yeah.
documentation is generated from the Okapi code.
Okay.
But it would be a very minor one, right? It's not breaking. There's nothing operational that changes.
Okay. Anyone in disagreement, we're using the top level EMV for our purposes here, for documentation purposes? Anyone disagrees with adding new properties to that definition? All right, looks like we will do that. Scribe, please document that we will use the EMV, the top level EMV property on the module descriptor for documentation purposes, and we should create a Jira ticket for copy to add the two. Well, I guess we didn't decide whether we. I think Wayne, what were the two again? Default and required.
Yes, default and required, and I'm not sure default is needed, since we have the value key as well, or the value property rather.
Okay.
So we could say that, if value is present, then that's the default value, like in the module descriptor. But if value is not present, then there is no default.
What do you think about the default value in the module descriptor being out of sync with what is actually in the code for the module?
That would be bad. I don't know. What do you mean?
So maybe a default timeout was 30 seconds before, and it's in the module descriptor, all is well. And then in the future, there's a problem, and then somebody increases that timeout to 120 seconds. And then they don't update the module descriptor, this documentation part.
Well, I mean, that's going to happen, right? That's a bug. I mean that, I mean that, right? That's unavoidable.
My
And it
line
happened.
of go ahead, Wayne.
I was going to say it's unavoidable, and it certainly happens today that the documentation in the README is not reflect the code correctly. I mean there is, I mean every developer. Makes that mistake occasionally. It's not, doesn't make them bad people.
My thought process was that we shouldn't include default values in that documentation because of the potential that is out of sync and have a single source of truth, which is difficult, but that would be, what is in the code.
As a as
There
an operator, I don't know what Ingolf, I think, is is probably the, and maybe Kevin as well. As an operator, I would want default values documented.
Julian,
And
sorry, Wayne, are you there?
not have to dig through the code for defaults.
Julian.
Well, if you put the default into the module descriptor and you make the code to read the default from the module descriptor and use it at runtime, then it's a single source of truth.
Ingolf, did you want to say something? You don't have to. I
Not
thought I heard your
really.
voice.
Actually, I wonder why we put it in the launch descriptor. In the Eureka environment, I wouldn't use that. I don't need that. I will look in the values files of the Helm charts. They would expect the default values there. Actually, they are there, but so I don't quite understand this discussion.
Yes, Wayne.
I think that's very dangerous to say that the source of truth is a Helm chart that's somewhere else.
Oh.
I think that's
Okay.
really a bad. I think that's. I don't think that's good design. But I that maybe that's where we want to go. But I would argue against it.
Kevin?
Yeah, I think if we didn't provide some defaults, then that would end up happening where it would all be in the Helm charts or something like that.
Shelley?
Yeah, just to second what Ingolf has said, it's I always just kind of looked at the Helm charts to see what the default values are, and but I know like, oh yeah, I should look at the README and then find out that the README is also not updated. So yeah.
Matt.
Yeah, approaching it from the developer perspective, at least on my team, we never, ever, ever touch the Helm charts. But we're the ones nearly always setting the default values. And so it would complicate it quite a bit by having us put it there. My other concern would be if we say that is the place to put default values, then doesn't that effectively tie Folio to Helm? Which means it also ties us to like Kubernetes. I don't know if that's the intent there, but that would worry me a little bit.
Yeah, I second
Thank
that.
you.
We not everyone uses Kubernetes and Helm charts.
Thank you. Thank you. So it looks like we would be It looks like we should go ahead and have the additional properties of the default value, and whether it's required required or not, and it being out of sync with the source code. Of course, I think some automation can be run, but there will be that potential. But generally, the likelihood would be low. Wayne, so we're still good with having the two properties, or you want to lobby for one?
I guess my right from an implementation from a CI perspective, because I'm just thinking, right, like generating the file is going to be a CI piece. I don't think it matters. I think it's more from a human perspective. Like, does a human want, like, would it be more confusing for a human to have both a value property and a default property and have to think about what to put in those things, like a human developer?
Gotcha.
So, that's a question, I guess, for the developers who are on you who are here.
Ingolf?
How have the helm charts been created? Can we have some automation to create the helm charts from the launch descriptor then? Otherwise, I have to go to 70 modules and each 20 properties and transfer this all by hand.
Shelley?
Ingolf, that's a can of worms that you're opening up there. We've already, some of us have tried to even open a PR for changing the Helm charts that are in Folio org repo and got pushback about it. So I think we have to table that discussion, maybe.
I think that the module descriptor is universal, such that anyone can write automation to produce alternate artifacts like Helm charts or what have you. But that having that info in the module descriptor that is universal to all would be ideal, is my thinking. I don't think that this change here would change the process of whatever is stored in the Helm charts, but there will be that opportunity for them being out of sync. Yes, Wayne.
I think I just wanted to second your sentiment. We don't currently use Helm for deploying modules, and we do exactly what you suggest. We use the and we use the current env property of the launch descriptor to generate deployments for our environment. And so, yeah, I mean that, it's nice to have it there. It's close to the code, and it means that if the team that maintains the CI that builds the Helm charts wants to make use of it, they can make use of it.
Matt, would you prefer to have the, and hopefully you are envisioning all what I'm saying right now, to have the value property there, that whatever is set in there is default, or would you want a totally different property that says, default, and the default value is set there, which would make the current value property maybe useless? What do you think, Matt?
I'm not really sure I'm following what you're saying.
I figured.
I'm trying to understand, but I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, and I don't have a notes here. Okay, I will say I prefer to reuse the value property, and we just include required for now. Is my preference. Anyone against that? And if we decide we want to add this default property later, we can do that too. But hopefully some teams have not populated the value and then maybe they need to change it. But all this can be automated too if push comes to shove. Okay, scribe, yeah, so we should add one property required to that top level env. Thank you again, Wen, for doing that investigation. All right. Yeah, DevOps will create automated tooling. I don't think there's a Jira for that yet. Any nominees to create the Jira?
That's a team that I lead, so I can certainly create the Jira.
Okay. Yeah, no, of course, no, hey, it needs to get it done by next week, but if it's available by the time we ratify this document and all that, that would be great. Thank you for doing that work. Okay. Required documentation fields. So this is what the mvars.md would look like, or if somebody happened to manually write it themselves. So it's just this four here. Any disagreements with these? So the automated tooling here would create these three, and based on what we've talked about, the value in the in that module descriptor would show up here. Yes, Maccabee.
Yeah, I'm just having some cognitive dissonance with calling them required, and yet also the fact that they're automatically generated. Required to me is usually like manually you have to do something, but you do have to do something. You're just not doing it in vars, you're doing it in the source, right? So I think it's probably fine. I just maybe need some clarification of what we mean by saying it's required, if that makes sense.
You lost me at the beginning, but then I was starting to get what you said towards the end. So I'll let Wayne talk and maybe to come full circle for me. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, so Maccabee, I think what this means is the environment, this isn't a question of required. Yeah, I feel like you're maybe thinking on two different levels. In this case, I think required means specifically, will this module function if the environment is not set? So, an example would be like Kafka SSL environment variable settings don't have to be set. And then if they're not set, then the module will not use TLS to communicate in its Kafka communication. So therefore it's not a required variable. Is that kind of where you were going, Olamide?
Yes, that's my thinking. Maccabee has a thumbs up, so I think he has a understanding now. Kevin?
Hope I don't confuse this further, but
Uh-oh.
does the required include things like with Spring Boot where the environment variable could be expressed through an application settings, or are we just sticking only to environment variables?
Anyone want to answer that? To me, this is just environment variables, most likely specific to the ones that are de declared by Folio developers. I don't imagine there would be lots of, for example, Spring environment variables that would be documented there. That just needs to be that framework would need to have its documentation linked somewhere. But my thinking is that is specifically for environment variables declared by folio developers or framework environment variables that you probably can't do without, if that's a
Okay.
thing.
Thank you. That's good. That simplifies the scope.
So for example, KC URL, I think that is key cloak specific, right? So it would be worthy of putting that in the document, especially since it's going to be required for anything to work. Okay, so those four, this is just how it would look in the MD. Down here, I'd said the new dedicated property would be added based on Wayne's findings. We would just reuse that. So I'm going to maybe and then looks like this would be like so. Something like that. So overall, this is just saying the description field should be populated. Any disagreements with that? All right. Moving on to required versus optional variable. So a part of this is trying to talk about if something is required, what should happen, because the different modules have they behave differently depending on what module it is. So first, required variable is that the module cannot function without them, and no sensible defaults exists. Optional variables are modules can function with default value or without the feature. Any thoughts on this section? Any thoughts? Okay. So startup behavior. So modules should implement the following. So for required variables, they should fail fast with a clear error message. The error message must include blah 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 and blah. Any disagreements with that? The entire document is a proposal, so something for us to critique. If you feel we should not include some items here, or it should just throw an error, we are open to that change. Yes, Ingolf.
But for the first before the topic, doesn't can it make sense? It can make sense to have default values, but you are required to change them. Just to have an example, for example, localhost double point 9200 for Elasticsearch, but nobody uses localhost. You have to change it to some domain name. But then, from what you have read, it would be always an empty string because it's a required variable and should have no default value. This it makes it more complicated for operator to find out the right value if there's no suggestion. So.
Thanks, Ingolf. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, you're done. Craig?
I guess, yeah, I'd be a little interested to hear from Matt on this. So because if we're baking in links to documentation, the description or of purpose into an error message, that means it needs to be in the code as well. So now we're capturing this information in several different places, aren't we? It would be in the README, it would be in the module descriptor, and now somewhere in the code. Is that really what we're after here? So changing something would require changes in three different places.
It would only be in the module descriptor, and then when someone sees this error, sees this error message, it's possible that we can have them have the convention be that they go look at the module descriptor or the auto-generated stuff on the README to work. So basically what you're saying is that we should remove link to documentation and description because it already exists in the module descriptor. Does that
Well, I'm not saying we should remove it. I'm just questioning the rationale behind it and clarifying whether or not that's really what we want to do. I guess I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I'm asking the question, is this really, do we understand what this the implication is here if we make the decision to do this?
Ultimately, I think the code should be able to say I can't connect to S3 because of, you know, blah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's required. But something like, you know, a link to documentation, that may not be needed. Yes, Shelley.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that for the error messages, I don't think having a link to the documentation or that all those things, I don't think we need in an error message. Maybe just like the variable name is not set or something.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jelly. Kevin?
Trying to wrap my mind up about how this would look in the code. So not that we're doing that, but so essentially we would read the descriptor on the error that missing that required variable and then process that JSON and spit out an error message based on this module descriptor. Is that correct?
Others can chime in. So the module descriptor is actually the module descriptor specifically for the environment variables are there's a rift between them. So the code declares whatever environment variables that it wants to, and then it's up to developers to add those sensible defaults and just the environment variables in the launch descriptor today. So there is no, for environment variables, there is no reading of the JSON to then use it in the application and stuff like that. The module descriptor has content that generates the API endpoints. So it's used for that from my experience of the Folio modules. Yes, Shelley.
Yeah, just that I think the intent of this section here is just better error messages, better logging, better debug logging. If it, you know, because I mean, sometimes like we could turn on debug logging and then we find out that there's not any debug messages, you know, so I think the intent here is just to have, when you start up the module, you have better logging so that you can figure out, this thing was missing.
Kevin?
Could this be done in the Docker build or startup rather than in the code?
What can be done? Checking of the
environment variables and reporting an error message.
I think it should be in the code, but I would like to hear other people's thoughts there.
Oh, I see Matt's hand up. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I was just thinking, for me, the important thing is not so much the error message itself. Like, the details of the error message are useful, but like, I don't know if there's a lot of need to assert what exactly needs to be in every error message. In my mind, the useful part of this is the failing fast on startup with a clear error message. And because, I mean, every instance, that's probably going to be kind of a case-by-case basis thing anyway, where some developer is writing a bespoke error message and all of that. And so I don't think the details matter a whole lot there, as long as when you run into that scenario, it fails quickly, and then whoever's dealing with it can reasonably quickly understand what exactly is going on. Because we've dealt with this on our team with S3 configuration on one of our modules, where we had some, it's kind of borderline between required and not required. And so the module can absolutely start up and work flawlessly. But when the variables were misconfigured, it would end up with an environment being subtly broken and no one would notice for hours or maybe days later. And so we actually make it fail fast for an arguably optional thing and then have like an override to let you not make it required. And it's a whole thing that doesn't really fit nicely into any error message template, but we can explain it pretty clearly in the error message. So yeah, to me, it's the fast failure and any clear error message is sufficient. That's kind of my two cents on that one though.
Thanks, Matt. Craig?
Yeah, I agree with what Shelley and Matt are saying here, that we don't necessarily need to be prescriptive about the details as long as we agree and the guidance that we're providing dev teams is helpful. So in order to make this more helpful, you know, provide a better, more descriptive error message and fail fast, I do agree with Matt that those are the two important parts. Being prescriptive as to exactly what goes into those error messages, I think, is maybe going too far, in my opinion. To answer Kevin's question, why I originally raised my hand, I don't think you can do these checks at Docker image build time because oftentimes, well, typically these things are specified when you run the container, right? Not when you build the image. That said, you could potentially put some checks in the entry point script that checks for the presence of required environment variables and fast fails right there without changing a single line of Java code or Go code or whatever the language is, right? So I think maybe there's some checks that could be put there. I mean, you could even check before you even start the Java process or Groovy process or whatever it is, right?
Kevin?
Thank you, Craig. I may have misspoke. So what I meant to say is build something into the container, but at runtime, when your container spins up, it runs the script to process to check those environment variables and then fails fast there without having to modify the code. Because my concern is if we start involving ourselves in code, every project would need to be updated. But if we had some script in the containers that would do these checks and then fail fast, that would avoid us having to modify any of the projects. And this, for clarification, would be container runtime and not build time. Thank you.
Craig, do you have something to say? If not, then go ahead.
Nope, sorry, just never loaded my hand.
Okay. Based on all what we've discussed so far, most modules will need a change eventually. And we have said it so that it's not a change that we, the TC, will be doing. And it's not a change that we're mandating the teams to do at a specific date. But when we have new modules that we would want to check for these things. So we have standards defined up top that will require modules to be aware of new environment variables, even though existing environment variables exist. So I don't think in terms of work being done by the team should be in consideration to this. Ultimately, regardless of where that check is, as long as the module is failing fast on startup, you know, I think that criteria here should be satisfied. Wayne, you had your hand up. Do you still want to go?
I just wanted to point out that, you know, the Docker file is part of the project. So you can say it doesn't involve a change in Java code, but if there's a wrapper script that needs to be made a part of every project, mm-hmm. That's still part of the project, right? So mm-hmm. it's just maybe the work gets put somewhere else in terms mm-hmm. of who does it. It's not a Java programmer, maybe it's an operations engineer, but it's not like the work goes away.
Yeah. Kevin, to reiterate, if it works in the Java, in the Docker container, or it's in a script rather, that's fine. I don't think this document should say where that check should be. But that from an operator, when I start the module, that it should fail fast on startup. Does that make sense, Kevin?
Yes.
Thank you for bringing it up. How are we doing on time? Okay, we're close to 10. Just before we move forward, there's still a bunch of things below. Most likely next week's discussion, we will switch gears a little bit to get some other licensing things squared away, and then we will be able to continue this conversation. I appreciate everyone's participation in this document. All right. So for optional variables, obviously not fail fast. If you use the document, the default value, which we hope it's what is in the module descriptor. And then this one says log informational message showing which default was used. And then there's a comment that some third-party dependencies have internal variables, test development-only variables, deprecated variables, and some variables that are useless for the module. Why should they be shown? I would say that you don't need to declare, you don't need to log every Spring, optional Spring environment variable that is available, but that if it is, specific to Folio and it makes sense to say, hey, I'm using, SSM instead of something else, maybe that's worth logging. But I don't think the idea here is for all third party dependencies that you may not have control over to log all of those. Yes, Matt.
I do have some minor concerns about this one, just from a practicality standpoint. I know, at least with my team's modules, they're Spring-based, and we use Spring to handle all of the configuration management. It's just built into it. And I don't even know if there is a way to see if you're using a default versus something that's getting overridden. And so, just for a start, I don't think we should be logging when we're using defaults so much as just logging the values of optional variables. And then my other concern is there may not be a nice way to actually do that without just having redundant references to values. So we'll have some value that's used in some corner of the code tucked away that gets touched, once every 5 months. And it would be pretty easy for that to get completely overlooked and not getting showing up in any log messages anywhere when there's not a central place dealing with it. That might be less of a problem because there's probably some nice way in Spring to see all the values. But unless we're logging every single configuration value, we would need to have a second place somewhere in the code to just rip through all the settings and log them all. And at least with Spring, there's not a nice single place to do that right now. And so it might be a bit of a burden to implement that in a lot of modules.
Got it. Anyone disagree with removing this line item here?
In a lot of
All right.
cases, I do think it is useful to log a lot of those values. It's just I think trying to say that we should do it with every single optional variable, that's where you might run into a little bit of trouble.
Thanks, Matt. So for optional variables, hopefully use the documented default value. Okay. Any thoughts or comments? Let's see if we can finish section four and call it a meeting. So I have a line item here that empty strings for required variables should be treated as missing and, throw an error. Any disagreements with that? And here is an exception to what is there. So for example, if you have a required variable that is Boolean, where the presence or absence indicates true or false, we wouldn't throw an error. Does anyone agree or any thoughts on that? Or should we say if you don't set true on the let's say for example the required Boolean variable that it should throw an error. And then this is stating that framework specific behavior may override this for third party libraries. So, you know, we might say whatever we want here for our environment variables, but third party environment variables will generally do whatever they want. This note is from a few meetings back. Maccabee mentioned that we have a module criterion that is to say, you know, gracefully handles the absence of third party systems or related config. And that we would clarify this criterion to distinguish between required and optional integrations. And I believe part of that was also to say, we are saying we want to fail fast here, but then we are saying we want to gracefully handle the configuration as we are, like those being opposed to each other in some way. Any thoughts or comments?
You might just want to add the fail fast language to that note, so we make sure to, you know, that we're explaining where we should fail fast, in other words, for required as opposed to with optional.
You're saying to update this note or to update the notes to update the criterion?
the orange box. Okay. Just yeah.
Craig.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's relevant to the topic that we're talking about right now, but just in general, what about the sidecars? There is no module descriptor for the sidecars, but it's still a container that expects certain environment variables and so forth. If we want to be consistent, what do we do with that?
Why do you have to bring this up at the end of the meeting, Craig?
Food for thought. We don't have to solve it right now, and certainly I'll discuss it with the Eureka team as well. See if we can come up with any ideas, but yeah, it just occurred to me now. So sorry if the timing's unfortunate.
All right. Wait.
Is that really a problem? Right, like there's nothing preventing you from creating the same documentation artifact, even if you have to create it manually, right? So if we say this is the documentation artifact that we need, you know, if you have a module descriptor, which of course most modules will have, then, you know, CI will generate this for you. But if not, you know, then you just please make this so that operators know what to look for.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, the alternative that I can think of is you develop a quasi module descriptor for the sidecars or other components that might fall into the same category, right? And it wouldn't be a complete module descriptor. It would just have the necessary information for the documentation generation part. And presumably there's some tooling, some automation that consumes module descriptors and spits out documentation. We could then continue to leverage that for sidecars as well, even though they don't have a fully fledged module descriptor per se. Okay. Yep. I think we're on the same page. Yeah. I'll give it some more thought and see if there are any other ideas.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Craig. We are at the end of this section here. Any last minute thought before we disband? Our next meeting will most likely be in 2 weeks regarding environment variables. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Thanks, guys. See ya.